going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov.
One reporter told me, though, that one of them said to just stop talking. Somebody, while Rafael Devers continued to answer questions, somebody just said, just stop talking. We've also, at Mass Live, learned that a couple players were veteran players, players that have been around the league a long time, were not happy with the situation.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was the voice of Christopher Smith, Mass Live, proving Ted Johnson right again. Not only were players side-eyeing, they were voicing their displeasure with Rafi Devers and his comments yesterday.
Just not being covert in their irritation or, just being upset. They're overt.
Which means you're near the end of your rope. When you're not hiding it anymore, you kind of had enough of it. You're fed up if you're voicing it. Especially in a room full of reporters. It's not like it was at a team function where it might get out. You're in a room full of reporters and you're voicing your frustration. So the fracturing, the displeasure within the clubhouse, it's bubbling up. But there's also some displeasure with your Boston Celtics. And a lot of it revolves around not anyone's willingness to do their jobs. It's more their ability to do their jobs to, I don't know, maybe win a basketball game. I don't know, maybe hold on to a 20-point lead. I don't know, maybe beat a team that has – it does feel like a lot to ask at this point, the way this team is playing. But the Knicks played a horrific basketball game, and still won. That's the really – it'd be one thing if they were balling out and Brunson had like 50 and you're like, my God, this guy can't be stopped. That was a bad basketball game the other night. It really wasn't all that enjoyable to watch. It was bad shooting by both teams, poor execution obviously at the end by the Celtics, and that includes Jason Tatum. A guy who's supposed to be their finisher, their clutch guy, their superstar. You just put the ball in his hands, right? Mm-hmm. So much so that Joe Mazzulla was like, hey, it worked last time. Just do it again. Go ahead. Do it again. Bad plan, Joe. We'll get to you in a minute. But Ted Johnson, you have some interesting notes and comps in terms of closing out games that might be interesting for NBA playoff fans right now.
Well, I just thought it was interesting. They were talking about Get Up this morning on Get Up about just the most clutch field goals, or the most clutch time field goals this season by players still left in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay. And at number five, one of the most the fifth rated clutch player is. Go ahead. You want to guess?
Oh no.
Oh, okay. You're just holding your number five. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Steph Curry at number five.
Yeah, he's clutch.
At number four, we saw
Jaylen Brown.
Nope. He is not in this on this list. Tyrese Haliburton. Number three, most clutch field goal this season by players still left in the playoffs is Anthony Edwards. Number two, Nikola Jokic. And number one, can you guess who number one might be?
Jalen Brunson.
Boom. Jalen Brunson.
And I didn't hear any Celtics on that list.
Not a one. And can I just say, for a potential, you might have to, the Celtics, if we can get through this Knicks series, might have to play the Indiana Pacers. And just to kind of compare, you know, here's a guy that's, what, 24 years old. A lot of people think, some people are the players voted most overrated player in the NBA.
Yeah.
So the most overrated player in the NBA shoots 90%, 10 of 11, on field goals to tie or take the lead in the last 2 minutes of a game this season. The only players to record multiple game-winning field goals with under 3 seconds remaining since 1998, one, Robert Horry, two, LeBron James, three, Aaron Gordon, and four, Tyrese Halliburton. And the biggest thing about saying that is Jason Tatum, JB, nowhere near those. And those are stats that I think that's what makes, I think it's part, is part of the frustration is you don't see a clutch Gene and Jason Tatum.
So are you tying together clutchness, overratedness, Halliburton, Tatum, and when it comes out the other end as a sausage, are you telling me that Jason Tatum's the most overrated player in the NBA?
No. I'm not saying that.
That's how I read that.
What I'm saying is I think the performances at clutch time for Tatum are part of the kind of the narrative, if you will.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is like everybody else, but you know, he is Jason Tatum. Everybody else shot poorly, but
you know what he? I mean, you know, okay, he's shooting 17% from 3 points in clutch time in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay, so I just that might be a better way to kind of
put it. Double it, and it still wouldn't be great.
He had 13 points in game two. I don't care what this game script dictated. That is nothing short of pathetic.
But he had a lot of rebounds.
But this isn't one of those games where you say like, oh, he had 19 points and 8 assists and 13 rebounds. Great, he had a bunch of rebounds. That's awesome. Last time I checked, he's not being paid to be the Eastern Conference's Rudy Gobert.
No, he is not. That is 100% accurate. And it has led to a lot of, I guess, dramatic or maybe over-dramatic conversations about his career, his legacy.
It's a national story.
Yes, it is. Yes. And he wants to be the national story, right? He has lusted after being the national story. I don't think he wants to be the national story for this reason. The overrated, the whether it's Tim Legler, whether it's Tim Welsh, and you know, basketball,
Kendrick Perkins,
experts that are former players, former coaches are all looking at Tatum and saying, you can't do that. You can't do it either way if you're the star of the team. But especially as Scal said to us, if you seek out notoriety and you seek out more respect and adulation and all these things, and then you show up and put back-to-back performances like he's put up for the. And I'll be honest, I'm still surprised by the second one. I thought he would respond. You know, we were all sort of, I mean, you weren't maybe as much, Ted, but like Scal and I, Fitzy, we were all kind of like, Tatum's going to bounce back. Celtics are going to bounce back. They'll score. And they didn't, and he didn't. And I guess the question is, what leads me to believe that if game one and game two were so bad, why is game three going to be so different? Just because he's on the road, is there going to be some weird pressures off? We're, you know, everyone's against us at MSG.
I mean, I can tell you what a lot of people would say that know this team very well, that know how analytically driven this team is that it's, and if you listen to Brian Windhorst, this is basically the whole thing he was saying. Well, the Celtics just look at the games on paper and they go, well, the math doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. From what we know, the math doesn't make sense. So, but they're basically saying you can't have 3 games of this bad a shooting. The math will show you the history. Look, we got all this data.
Right.
That's going to tell you, you can't. This can't continue. The bad shooting trend can't continue because we got the math and the history of all this data to prove it.
So, Fitzy, I would agree with that on a team-wide level. It seems weird to me that they can continue to just all suck shooting threes, be 25%. It's also crazy that they were exactly 25% in 2 straight games from three-point land. But for Tatum, postseason shooting woes goes back to last year. This isn't just a 2-game thing. He hasn't shot well in the postseason consistently for a year plus in the postseason.
No, there was nothing special about Tatum's offensive output last season, which is what allowed for Jaylen Brown to assert himself and end up winning conference finals and NBA finals MVPs contiguously. Again, against opponents that were lacking one or two of their star players. And just to point out, why you might have some high hopes for Jason Tatum having a good game tomorrow or the next couple of games against the Knicks, in addition to the fact that he does have rabbit ears and has probably been listening to all the criticism he's been facing on the local and national level, he did average more rebounds, assists, and points on the road this year than at home. Not a massive amount, not such a discrepancy that it's like, oh my God, only start him on the road like he's a true road warrior. but he is a better player on the road. And it almost makes you wonder, like, what is it about having your back against the wall in these situations when people are telling you you suck that makes you better than when you're at home and it's nothing but love, which he seems to feed off of? It's very, very, very curious.
Which is a weird dynamic because we all wonder if he has the, you know, eye of the tiger type thing. And yet we're trying to paint it in, well, maybe he needs the pressure to perform. Like that's so we question his clutchness, but then we say he needs to be down 0-2 at Madison Square Garden coming off two bad games to give you his best game. That would seem to be counterintuitive.
My explanation for that is I think there's a weird energy in the TD Bank sometimes.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Celtics, they just – and I think he feels it. I think there's a – the energy can be off. There's a tightness that the crowd gets. And I think it feeds into Tatum. And see, he gets tight at the end of games, too.
I did think there was a weirdness.
It might sound like, okay, that shouldn't be the case.
Well, it shouldn't
I think
case,
it might be the case. If you're talking about somebody who isn't maybe as strong-minded as we're suggesting, then it's not the most surprising thing.
But there was definitely a weird, uncomfortable, some missed threes. You could kind of feel the crowd. I don't know if groan was the right word, but just to like...
Grumble is the term that the guy people use. Grumble. There's some grumblings
like,
going on.
Oh, we doing this again?
Yep.
You know, and that
feeds
up
into the players.
Yeah, and so... But I would also... they can't avoid it. Like, I'm a big believer that as much as I may hate that they shoot a boatload of threes, that's who they are. They're going to shoot a boatload of threes. They're going to, you know, wide open threes, move the ball, do their various things. But once you start thinking... You're toast. Is that fair to say? Like, once you really start thinking about how you're playing basketball as opposed to just playing it way you've played
like,
it for years.
The Japanese say it should be a no-mind game. Basketball, yes. you got to take your mind out of it. Absolutely.
So their mindset is probably as important as anything heading into Madison Square Garden. Their shooting ability, everything. Like
it's the only question for this team.
Right.
Is their mindset. Do they have the right mindset to overcome a 2-0 deficit to a team that they're clearly better than, but that have showed that they aren't going away easy. I mean, you imagine like the Celtics, when they got a 20-point lead, if they have a 20-point lead in tomorrow's game, they basically have given...
Worst thing that could happen to them.
It's like
the hockey,
they got to keep... You know what? It's going to force them to keep playing, you know, whatever, however it got to that 20-point lead continually, because they know if they take the foot off their gas a little bit, that they might lose the game again.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. If they get a 20-point lead, like in the third quarter, they're going to be thinking about it. Whereas normally you'd be thinking about how much time left. We just close this out. We move on. What are we going to do the next?
And they miss four shots in a row, which happens all the time.
Yes.
All of a sudden they go, uh-oh, this feels very familiar. And that's where you lead to it happening again.
And that's where your guy, Jaylen Brown, needs to grab the ball, take it to the paint, get people in foul trouble, exert some physical dominance, and then flex on the Knicks and remind them that what happened in Boston was more anomalous to the equation as opposed to when they won four straight against them this regular season.
I agree, but not in a sense where he has to think about it. I'll go back to that. They are at their best when Brown and Tatum coexist naturally, not, oh, he's doing this, oh, I guess I better do that, like actually thinking. You know what I mean? Like, it can't be a conscious balance or back and forth. It has to just kind of be within the flow of the game.
That's nice in the middle of the season when you got a 10-game lead on the next guy. When it's an elimination game on the road, the pressure of defending a championship, you factor all that in, and it's sphincters get tight, brother.
Which is why I thought it was interesting yesterday, and we're getting back to your phone calls just a second, 617-779-7937. There was a balance of Tatum comments. One was like, I can't change anything. You can't change anything. You can't think any differently, which I didn't like. I do think there's something to be said for, like, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Then he had the other comment that we played yesterday about, it's on me. I put all of it on me. I have to be better. I have to own that. And I agree with that. But I don't know where he actually believes, because he had those comments a couple weeks ago about, oh, it was just so relaxing when we won the title. I don't have to worry about anything. And are you sure? Are you sure you have nothing to worry about? Because I feel like you're at the crossroads of all-time great wins back-to-back titles, or you can join the Aaron Rodgers crew, the one-off
crew. He made
crew.
That care. I feel as carefree as I've ever felt. You know, now that that was after winning the Orlando Magic series and before the start of this series.
Yes, it was. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Joe in the car. What are your thoughts on Jason Tatum and the Celtics?
Good to see, gentlemen. I'm going to tell you something. I've been saying this I've been calling the radio for years, and anybody knows me. I've been telling this about Jason Tatum. He is not a superstar. He is not, okay? And the face of the league, let's stop it with Tatum, okay? The face of the league is Anthony Edwards for me, okay? He's the face of the league. The kid's got charisma. He's got fight. He's got heart. I mean, Jason Tatum is a bum. I'd rather have a healthy Porzingis than a Jason Tatum. Porzingis healthy is more valuable to us than a brick of a shooter as Jason. Even his shot doesn't even look right.
All right, thanks for the call, Joe. I felt like you were going down.
The guy sucks. Get him out of here.
I thought there was a chance we'd have to drop it there.
I might be my favorite caller. He's so passionate,
yeah.
Reasonably informed, never backs down from his takes as well. He's no bum. I get it. Anthony Edwards is the face of the league. That's interesting. But again, the whole notion of Jason Tatum's big game clutch, the cojones, face of the league, no one said he's the face of the league. He said he wanted to have something to say about it if he won a championship. And this whole, the worst take ever could be, or the worst soundbite might be, what they going to say now? Well, the funny thing is, if you lose 4-0 or 4-1 to the Knicks when you beat them 4-0 during the regular season, what they're going to say? They're going to say last year's championship was kind of a sham championship, and you're right back to being knockout Tatum.
Isn't it interesting that that championship, I think probably in his mind, that just washes away any future criticism, like everyone's done. The work, it was not done. And people go, you know, what is Jason Tatum? I think I wonder if we've over, maybe you typecast him wrong. I gave you the best supporting actor as opposed to the lead actor, right?
Yeah.
I think that maybe that's kind of what it still might be at the end of the day. I know we're, you know, that's a conversation to have down the road, but I still feel like that's part of the frustration is he's a great supporting actor, maybe not the best lead actor.
This is a weird comparison, but Jason Tatum might want to call John Henry, who, owning the Boston Red Sox, won 4 World Series titles after they had gone nearly 100 years without. You'd think he'd be the most popular owner in the history of the world. And that lasted very short. And then all of a sudden they're like, wait, why aren't you spending money? Why are we in last place? Why aren't you in the playoffs? People forget very quickly, Jason Tatum. You get credit for the title. It also increases expectations. It puts you in a different stratosphere.
Right.
So,
to be better.
I also need to push back just slightly on Joe. Love the passion. But we are only one game removed from Anthony Edwards not scoring a field goal till midway through the third quarter and his coach calling out his effort in game one when they got their asses whooped by the Warriors. Yeah. So, like,
that fat load.
Like, he's not exactly the perfect player either right now, although he did come back. It looked like a bad injury. He came back, led them to victory last night. Let's see if we can squeeze in another phone call. Let's go to Jim in Weymouth with some thoughts on Kristaps Porzingis, who is in a very weird situation these days. What's up, Jim?
How you doing, guys? I haven't heard this brought up, but for the last 2 years in a row in the playoffs when we need him the most, Porzingis is either unavailable or borderline useless, and I haven't heard this brought up at all.
Look,
all right, thanks.
He's one of my favorite players. I thought he was the secret to maybe them winning the whole thing last year, even though they won it without him, essentially, they still needed him throughout the season. I'm the biggest Porzingis fan, and I'm starting to feel like he just said, I'm starting to get kind of, okay, man, you know what? Everyone said this about you before you got here, and I get it. But I think for this team to be special, and the margin for error is bigger for this team if Porzingis is healthy and playing. But, man, what is going on?
See, I am hesitant, Fitzy, to go all in critical of Porzingis because this is one of the weirdest situations. Scala said weird.
Yep.
Chris Mannix was tweeting about it.
Yeah.
Missoula said that they know what it is.
They're tying together what's going on now to March when he missed that time.
Yep.
And I almost, it's hard to, it's like he's gutting it out. It's like like Rafi Devers maybe wouldn't even be playing if he was dealing with what Kristaps Porzingis. Yeah. So that's a shot at Rafi.
If he didn't miss so many
Porzingis
other games because of other injuries, we wouldn't be talking about this like we are.
And if we didn't like him as much, we wouldn't defend him as much. Because we do all seem to like him. He gets, he works the crowd, the entrances, the excitableness. We all love him. But the reality is, when it's nut cutting time, he's often not at full strength, full availability.
We'll say this quickly, Fitzy, is give me whatever you got. And I think Coach Tim Welch said this earlier on the interview with Midday, which was great. He basically said, you know what? If you only can use them for 8 minutes, then use them for 8 minutes.
Right.
And start him, too.
Start him. And if once he starts wearing down, then take him out. But I still think he's value add than not having him out there.
Absolutely. 617-779-7937. Back to your phone calls. Talking Celtics. Game 3 must win. Tatum legacy on the line at MSG. What a place to have it happen Saturday afternoon at 3:30. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Red Sox begin their six-game road trip tonight in Kansas City against the Royals. First pitch is at 7:40 p.m. Boston is 20-19, two games back of the Yankees in the American League East. It's Hunter Dobbins against Michael Lorenzen on the mound tonight, and here's your lineup. Jaron Duran leads off and left. Then it's Rafael Devers, your DH, Alex Bregman at third, Christian Campbell at second, Willier Abreu out and right, Trevor Story at short. Sorry, Andy, it's Abraham Toro at first tonight, with Connor Wong, your catcher, and Seydon Rafaela in center field, batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcand at 6:40 p.m. tonight, and Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo have the call of the series this weekend. The Celtics play game 3 of their series against the New York Knicks tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 tip at Madison Square Garden. Boston trails in the series 2-0. Two games on the schedule tonight. Cavaliers are at the Pacers for a game 3. Indiana's up 2-0. And in the late game, the Thunder are at the Nuggets for a game 3. That series is tied at 1. Two Stanley Cup playoff games tonight as well. Maple Leafs are at the Panthers for a game 3. Toronto's up 2-0. And in the late game, the Stars are at the Jets for a game 2. Dallas is up 1-0. And from around the NFL, Patriots defensive coordinator Terrell Williams is not with the team at rookie minicamp as he is, quote, working through a medical condition, as announced by Mike Vrabel earlier today. Plus, the Dolphins have signed former Patriots long snapper Joe Cardona, who spent his first 10 NFL seasons in New England, and the 49ers are waiving former second-round pick Drake Jackson with a failed physical designation. Celebrate Mother's Day at the 99 Restaurant and treat mom to delicious new menu specials made especially for her, like herb garlic filet mignon, lemon caper swordfish, or their famous colossal or hot buttered lobster rolls. You gotta love the nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI, WEEI.com. More afternoons coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Up right after this.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
So Kristaps Porzingis, my understanding is he's been dealing with a lingering of side effects from the virus that he had in March, and it's something that has zapped his energy. It's drained him. He's had to, you know, rely on getting a lot more sleep over the last couple months. He's had to take IVs, immune boosters, I'm told. So he's tried to figure out ways to mitigate it. Obviously, they've run him through a battery of different tests. And they have not been able to, I guess, completely identify which virus could this specifically be.
Go ahead, Ted. You're reacting to that, Shams Charania on Pat McAfee.
So it's side effects of a virus that he had that he doesn't have.
So can I say it? He says they don't know what it is. It just sounds like long COVID. Like we learned that whole thing, but they've made it not COVID. It's almost like it's following the exact same thing as COVID, but isn't COVID.
No, but I said before the break, Missoula says they do know what it is, but they're not telling us, and that it affects his energy, his respiratory function, and his general overall well-being.
Oh.
So it does sound like long COVID, but
they call him Shams a liar.
Well, I saw this on the Twix just a short while ago. So, you know, make of it right here. Kayla Burton said just a couple hours ago from NBC Sports Boston, our pal over there, Celtics HE Joe Mazzulla says they do know the illness Porzingis is dealing with, and it's impacting his, quote, fatigue and his breathing. He's hoping the 2 days off extra help will help KP.
Yeah. All right.
Sounds like long COVID to me, even though saying it's not COVID.
Yeah, probably something similar to COVID effect. I mean, it's one of those, put him out there, isn't going to make it worse. I mean, he has what he has.
Right, you're just limited with whatever energy he has.
And I'll say this, I would start him. We said this already. Start him, see what he's got, what can he give you. And look, he loves MSG. He used to play for them. I think he feeds off the crowd there. Mm-hmm. See what you got, and but definitely start him. I didn't like him coming off the bench in the last game.
Yeah, I would start him. And I think that might give him a little extra boost. There'll be a natural energy from the environment in the game and the start of the game that maybe that gets you an extra few minutes, few percentage points of how good he feels. Yes, it is.
If it was long COVID like you're thinking, maybe, can you think of a reason why they wouldn't just say, like, it's long COVID or it's COVID or...
Politics.
Yeah, like, maybe.
That's what I was wondering, maybe. Yeah.
But I think they would get in trouble because they specifically have called it non-COVID. You know, in the NBA, they do like the little parenthetical non-COVID illness.
Right.
I think you could get in more trouble if you are found out later that you were just flat out covering up COVID.
That's true.
If you don't have COVID currently, it's technically not COVID. I mean, if you have long COVID side effects, you are currently not COVID positive.
Yeah. That's a gray area where they're trying to get some criticism down the road.
I just can't think of a reason why they would not say what it is. It's just baffling to me.
Well, there is some, maybe he doesn't want them to. There's some HIPAA. There's some personal privacy. You're not talking about a rolled ankle, bad knee. You're talking about something that I'm not sure I would want it out there if it was me.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I mean, if it's a virus you got, I don't know.
Yeah.
Doing something, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Because if you're...
It's like, I don't know if I want everybody to know what I've been doing, you know, to get these viruses.
Breaking news. Ted says KP has an STD.
He's going to the clinic.
I'm not saying that. Nope.
What was that in Beverly Hills Cop? Herpes simplex number 9 or something?
Oh, banana tailpipe? Something like that. Yeah.
All right, let's end this discussion. Go back to the phone line. 617-779-7937. Kevin in Winchester has some strong thoughts on Joe Mazzulla. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's up, boss? How you doing?
Good.
After hearing that clip of him talking about duality, the guys is really making me upset. If Joe Mazzulla has to coach, the Celtics have a great chance of losing. And that's really how I'm starting to feel about it. He inherited a great team. I think any one of those assistant coaches that were sitting on the bench under Ime Udoka probably would have had the same, if not a better, outcome in compared to where we are right now. The guy allows Jason Tatum to steamroll down the court with 18 seconds left, dunks it, leaves 13 seconds, leaves about 15 seconds left or whatever it was. Jalen Brunson makes, they go up one, and we don't call a timeout. We don't run our best play. We don't have the best play or something. Like, we're not, we're getting out-coached every time. We're up 20, and the guy doesn't say the next guy shooting the three is going to sit on the bench. The guy's just pissing me off.
Thanks for the call, Kevin.
Can I give you an example of something that we always get mad at athletes for, not maybe learning their lessons? They keep doing the same thing over and over again. And look, I'm reluctant to kind of really call out Joe. I did this week and called out about his coaching because I feel like it was just obvious. I think some of the coaching decisions that he made or didn't make affected the wins and losses that loss for the Celtics. But it was in the really good article by B-Rob on MassLive.com. where he talks about a similar thing that happened in this last game where he didn't call a timeout and he let him play, happening in Joe Mazzulla's rookie year in the second round against the in game four of the second round series against the 76ers. The same exact thing where the Celtics weren't able to get off a shot. They had 17 seconds. They were trailing by in a one-point game. Mazzulla declined to call a timeout to save time to advance the ball and get Boston organized. Ultimately, after a frantic possession, Marcus Smart made a three-point attempt shot, but it came after the buzzer.
Oh, so I remember that. That was infuriating. Yep. That was one of the worst coach series. Don't forget, that's also the one where I referenced this the other day, boys, where Jaylen Brown left his man, went to double someone under the hoop, left James Harden wide open in the corner, and he buried a three, just like Mikhail Bridges buried one in game one as well. Again, the little things that if you call a timeout, maybe a coach reminds him, hey, don't over-pursue, don't leave your man, this is winning time.
But that gives you the exact same scenario. Yeah. We've seen it play out in his rookie year, happened in that last game, and he did the exact same thing.
And that's where I do think, I don't want to be disrespectful to Joe Mazzulla. He's the head coach of the defending world champions. Yep. He led them to a title through motivation, through plays, on court, off court, whatever. He navigated that. That's hard to do. But I do think there's a certain sense with this team. They know how Joe wants them to play. There aren't a lot of game plan wrinkles we talked about. He doesn't necessarily want to call timeout and draw up a specific play for a specific situation. It's almost like they could roll it out there. They know what they're going to do. They're going to shoot a lot of threes, right? That's how they're going to play. I don't know. It almost feels like he is sort of replaceable by AI.
You know where his coaching doesn't matter for 46 of the 48 minutes in crunch time, and then these critical moments, you know, where you need a basket. That's where coaching comes into play.
Yeah, but it matters bad in those moments. I think, at least in regards to the most recent game, it was a negative.
Right, but I'm saying those are his moments to earn his money.
Right,
like the first 46. It doesn't matter what he does. It matters what you do in those situations.
And that's where the caller's saying if it comes down to his coaching in that situation, he's worried or doesn't have confidence in Joe to call the timeout, make the right move.
How could you?
And then you look at it in regards to Tibbs and the Knicks, and they have been winning on the road. They drew up that play that I keep going back to that I love for Brunson. Now, he missed the shot. Whatever. I think he probably hits that shot 8 times out of 10 in the same situation if you draw it up for him and get him that open moving towards the basket. So you're going to face those challenges as you move forward, and that's what we talk about. Tatum has to meet the challenge of the other team's closer, Brunson, whoever it may be if you move forward, right? And Mazzulla has to meet the challenge of the other team's coach. Those are the two sort of foundational pillars that series are based on. And then the depth comes in after that. And
just to make note of that last time that happened 2 years ago, his rookie year, he admitted he should have called a timeout after that game against the 76ers.
And he has done that occasionally, but other times he's also made comments about letting it play out because they're going to be in that situation in a more important game, and I want them to feel comfortable letting it play out. So, okay. I don't know. I'm with Tim Welsh. He said it with Jones and Keith. You got to call a timeout there for a million reasons. You first of all gain time. You advance the ball, and you get to set up exactly what you need, what you want,
and you get more shots, the chances to maybe make a shot.
That's where, and this is going to sound dumb, but I do wonder: is it a lack of confidence in himself?
That's what I wonder.
Like, does he not feel comfortable that I have
drawn up a play,
the perfect play for the perfect Missoula.
It's not like Thibodeau's out coaching him. Where his schemes are so much more brilliant and Mazzulla looks like a boob. It's just that he's not pressing the wrong buttons or actually just choosing to do simple things like call timeouts or drop key plays in winning time for his guys, as opposed to Montessori Missoula doing a whole lot of nothing and letting the kids learn on their own.
It might be like, you know, when you play those pickup, you know, two-hand touch or flag football game, and you get in the huddle and you're like, all right, just get open. All right, any break?
Right.
That's like Missoula's. That's how we we're not going to drop a play. Hey, just get open. Okay, bro. You know, you just wonder if those drawing plays, an inbounds play, is one of his weaknesses. And I wouldn't doubt if that's the case.
Or even worse, run it again. Like, that rubbed me the wrong way. At the professional level, the highest level you can play basketball, his plan was, yeah, just do it again.
It's weird. If you want to be considered a smart coach, maybe it's like, just we shoot up a bunch of threes and run the play again.
Right.
Like, that's literally all his philosophy is, shooting a bunch of threes and running the play again.
Or with him, maybe it was some, like, he thinks I think, so he thinks that I think, that I'm going to come up with something crazy. You know what he'll never think? We'll do the exact same thing 10 seconds later that we just did. No one would ever be crazy enough to do that, but crazy never. Joe Mazzulla is. 617-779-7937. Back to the phone lines. Let's go to Sean in Franklin. What are your thoughts heading into Game 3 for the Celtics, Sean?
Hey, guys, appreciate taking my call. I want to let you know this isn't new to this year, but this Celtics team, I relate them to a little kid playing with their food. So they're not excited about the dinner they're getting tonight. They're just moving it around. And once they feel like they're not going to get dessert, things are going to happen. So right now they're playing with their food, but they realize they're down 0-2. Things are going to be happening. I'm not even worried at all.
That's interesting.
All right, thanks for the call, Sean. Not worried at all. Is that what he said?
Yeah, not worried at all.
I don't know how you could.
He ain't worried about nothing.
No.
I don't know how you could not be worried at all, because I saw an interesting stat today from BetMGM. The bets being placed on Game 3 are 50-50 split, perfectly 50-50 split. Not the handle. More money is being placed on the Celtics than on the Knicks, but the actual bets themselves. And we had the poll yesterday we ran was last time, 52-48, down 2-0 after two games. Do you still believe the Celtics will win the second round series? 52% still think the Celtics. Now, we're in New England, we're in Boston, we're Celtics fans, but 48% now believe they're going to lose the series. That's a pretty big percentage point, especially for a group of fans that a lot of us thought it might be a sweep. So now all you got to do, if you win four in a row, you still win the series 4-2, right?
It's Jason Tatum. I think people are. I think it's mostly about how Jason Tatum's played in these games that gives people pause. That doesn't give you that 100%. You know, and it's. I don't know. Like if we have what team do we have? Do the Celtics have a similar philosophy of when it comes to offense? What is the other team in the NBA still playing in the playoffs that has the same kind
of... Golden State?
Yeah, okay. Golden State. Okay. And is their leader the face of their franchise? Would you call him... would you consider him to have similar traits as Jason Tatum?
Steph Curry?
Yeah.
No.
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 Would you say Steph Curry's kind of a killer?
Yes.
Yeah.
How about Jimmy Butler?
So you
Well, that's where I think it gets interesting, the comparison.
I guess the point I was trying to make is like I think the system is a soft one. Just shoot up a bunch of threes. But you have a killer in Steph Curry, who executes a soft system with tenacity and tenaciousness.
And
JT doesn't.
And you have a Robin in Jimmy Butler, who's known as a junkyard dog. And then you throw in the wild card that is Draymond Green, who's a legit wild card, can help them or hurt them at any moment in time. And this is going to sound crazy. I know people pretend I never rip JB, but I also think part of the trepidation right now, the fear in Celtic Nation is... We've seen Tatum have struggles before in the postseason. Oftentimes, JB was there to pick up the slack. JB's not picking up the slack enough in this series. JB has not been enough to allow you to win games one and game two. So your two stars, Batman is struggling, and Robin is not driving the Batmobile very well, right? They're out of control, and they're losing games. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your calls. We see you lined up on the Celtics. We'll also mix in Red Sox talk. We're going to wait to see that lineup. Who's playing first base? I bet it's not Devers. All that and more next on WEEI Afternoons.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
We have never seen a team start 5-0 on the road in the postseason with a point differential of 10. They have won those five road games by 3-3, 2-1, and 1. The Celtics built a team to win the championship. The Knicks built a team to beat Boston.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you're seeing that play out right now. And the margins are this thin, but that's what they've been able to do.
That was Nick Wright on FS1, I believe.
Yep,
and,
unmistakable voice.
Interesting comment. Like, okay, so the Knicks have been great on the road. They've been closing out games. They have Jalen Brunson. And it's funny. Brunson would be a cool name.
That
I like
a
Brunch.
Cool name.
Brunch is a good, good meal. Joe Mazzulla has emphasized the margins. The margins. And it's funny that Nick Wright brings up the Knicks winning the margins and executing and clutch. Joe Mazzulla has emphasized the margins. His team hasn't been good enough to get to the margins. They're just flat out missing shots. The most simple part of basketball is eluding them right now. Just a simple ball, basket, make it go in somehow, right? Mm-hmm. Go back to basics. Like, Fitzy, you coach youth baseball, young kids.
God help us.
I always was a very simple...
I only drink 12 beers every game, Ted. The case is a little extravagant.
The Bad News Bears
coach. C-ball, hit-ball strategy of
Butter
hitting.
Butterfitzy, they call me.
Like, yep. is simple it. To me. Like, C-basket, shoot-basket. Like, maybe that. Maybe they need some weird Zen-like, like, stop it. You know, remember Happy Gilmore? Are you too good for your home? Why won't you go home when he's trying to putt? I feel like that's what they need to say to the basketball. Just get very simple... See the hoop, shoot the hoop, do what you've been, you know, or maybe it's Hoosiers. Yeah, it looks like it's
do the
10
measuring.
Feet
yeah,
here.
It's 10 feet, right.
Wow, it's they, weird. We're at Madison Square Garden, but today. It's right, same right. as you've ever played, right. 10 feet.
Or, you know. Or just, you know, like, I don't know. Hey, if you have a open shot, it's not only about their open shots. It's can we get the closest open shot we can take
yeah.
instead of the furthest away? And by the way, what was irritating me, too, about when some of their 3 points. Shots, they're not on the line. They're like
3 feet behind the line. Yeah. They're like long range 3-point shots.
But they're open, according to the stats.
Without
they're
at least wide, five guys touching.
Wide open. You are wide open, but you're front rimming it or you're airballing it.
Yep.
And it's. It was and just real quick, I just said to Andy, I was like, watching the Celtics in that the end of that game the other night when they'd shoot a long three, get a long rebound, shoot it again, get a long rebound, shoot it again. It was like Requiem for a Dream. I was literally getting triggered by watching that. I was like, I was losing my mind. I needed heavy drugs at that moment, watching them so
please
frenetically
don't.
Try to get the ball into the basket.
And it's one of those things where they talk about, Fitzy, you know, the ball going in creates more shots. Like, once one goes in for you, that loosens you up, but also loosens up your teammates. It feels like they're in the opposite land. When one guy misses, that makes it more tense for the next guy who shoots, because now the pressure's on me to stop the losing streak, the missing streak. And it's like, it almost feels like we're talking about they need a sports psychologist.
Oh,
that's what it feels like.
Well, there's two problems at play. Number one, if I was Mazzulla, again, I would, God forbid, I would ever call a timeout and coach them up, because obviously Joe Mazzulla has like a timeout bookie that he owes a bunch of timeouts to. That's why he keeps trying to take him away from every game and keep him in his pocket. But if he were to call a timeout and remind them, hey, guys, what we're going to try not to do is shoot the ball before at least five guys touch it. I mean, go through your basic.
Mm-hmm. Straight out of Hoosiers.
Straight out of youth basketball coaching. You can fill both oceans. You can one fill more. The Atlantic and Pacific with how little I know about coaching basketball. But one thing I always made sure to tell the kids is, like, we're not shooting it before at least everybody touches. It's got to go around the horn. Yeah. I want it to go all the way around. Everyone, try to do your best to set up the best shot by passing the ball around. And this is just 19, 20 seconds, one or two guys touching it, and then up comes the 27 to 33 foot 3-point shot. And number two, this is a point I made way back when, before either of us, Hart, were involved in anything resembling the afternoon program in the old Fitzy and Hart days. I expressed concern that we would start getting some dead legs and some tired arms. It would be a lot of short arms could come from the fact that they played a season and a quarter last year. Some guys traveled a third of the way around the world to play in the Olympics. Like, this team looks tired.
Nope. I'm not using that excuse. No, the last 15 teams
they're lazy right now.
They were like, it was a cupcake schedule to end the season. So they all got their time to rest. Nope. That is not an excuse. So, but I like the Coach Norman Dale kind of idea, just, you know, kind of work it around. And then the shooter, every now and then, just throwing in a, if you don't know what to do for an inbound, just do what Shooter said, do the picket fence, and then we'll be okay.
617-779-7937, back to the phone lines. Tim in Hanover, what are your thoughts on the Celtics heading into Game 3 in New York?
Guys, thanks for taking the call, man. I was watching that game at home, and I was saying to myself, oh, my God, if I was at the stadium, I would be out there yelling at the top of my head, take a timeout for the love of God and reset. And they didn't do it. But I tell you what, they're too good to lose. They're going to beat this team. But I'll tell you, if they need four singers, like Ted was saying yesterday, they need him at 15 minutes a game, and then they're good. But I'll tell you, they do something like this against OKC or somebody like that, they're done.
All right, thanks for the call, Tim. I don't love the whole they're too good to lose. Like, there's been a lot of really good teams that lose over the years. Basketball, baseball, football, hockey, too good to lose. Hell, there's been corporations in this country that were too big to fail and they were failing.
You get his point, though.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, if everyone's healthy, I don't know, man.
Well, first of all, everyone's not.
I'm saying if they were all healthy, this team should not lose.
And the Knicks team the Knicks team that they beat a bunch of times is very different from the Knicks team after the trade deadline that is now battle-tested and came out the right side of the Detroit series as well, which has benefited them because they can survive their worst basketball, and their worst basketball is now good enough to beat the Celtics. Imagine, forget about the fans outside the stadium and the energy that's going to be in the world's most famous arena tomorrow. Think about the confidence this Knicks team is playing with tomorrow. That's almost some are calling it a must-win game for the Knicks. To me, it would be a house money approach. Just go out and play your most energetic, concerted, focused game tomorrow and see what happens, because they've already beaten the Celtics twice and they haven't even played that well yet.
I continue to ask the question, though, and we'll answer it on the other side. Are the Celtics losing these games or are the Knicks winning them? I still think there's some debate there, and I know it's disrespectful for everybody in New York, and you can get mad Knicks fans and Spike and all of you guys. Are the Celtics losing? Are the Celtics down 0-2, or are the Knicks winning? Are they up 2-0?
Still that, a lot of Devers talk.
And more Devers talk up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.